Number 47, Overcoming Evil from the Fascination of the Race and Other Essays by Benjamin L. Summer. All who love the right have a natural desire to overcome evil, but not always do they approach the task in a wise manner. The attack upon evil must be of twofold nature. That is, there are two phases of the attack, one of greater and one of lesser importance. But often the error is made of giving the phase of greatest importance the least attention or of neglecting it almost entirely. The reason that the phase of lesser importance and effectiveness is often given more consideration is because it seems to be the more direct. The two phases are 1. To suppress the evil, the negative phase. 2. To cultivate the good, the positive phase. The Apostle Paul gives us the right direction when he writes to the Romans, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Romans 12, verse 21. As in many matters, we get unusually wise counsel from Paul in this matter. He was an experienced fighter against evil, thoroughly experienced in both phases of the fight. As a Pharisee, he exercised himself largely in the negative phase, that is, to suppress the evil, saying to himself, "Thou shalt not! Thou shalt not!" Thus he had the experience which taught him a very valuable lesson in life. He learned that to attempt to suppress the evil merely increases its power and in no wise destroys the evil. To the Romans he writes, "I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of lust." Romans 7 verses 7 and 8. Thus he learned through the experience of life that the attempt to suppress evil not only fails but actually increases its power. This is one reason why Christ succeeded where Moses failed. Christianity is not so much a suppression of the old evil nature as it is a new creation. It is a new, holy, divine life wrought in the hearts of men, which crowds out the evil rather than merely suppressing it, directing into good and holy channels the human energies, which, when not so well employed, are almost sure to lead to abuse, sin, and destruction. Unwise are the parents with whom the training of children consists mostly of, don't do this, don't do that. This is not constructive and will not build up a strong, virtuous character in the child. The wise parent overcomes evil tendencies in the child by leading it into all kinds of good and wholesome activities. Thus, the child's energies are directed into good and wholesome ways. Another example which we may take is that of the farmer. Of course he must fight weeds, but his most effective weapon is to sow plentifully of good seed. Farmers have been heard to say that a smaller amount of seed than they sow might yield a good crop were it not for the weeds. But in order that the weeds may have no room, they sow the good seeds more abundantly. Thus, the good plant crowds out the evil, and the principle pronounced by Paul, overcome evil with good, is put into practice. Now let us apply this principle to Christian life. What a large part of what is often considered the fruit of a Christian life is negative. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Colossians 2, verse 21. Don't do this, don't do that, sometimes with great stress upon things which are of a very trifling nature. In the meantime, you hear devout souls complaining because the forces of evil seem so powerful, all kinds of evil plants showing themselves in the garden of God. This happens because there is not enough activity to do the good, to cultivate the positive Christian virtues, to give alms, to do acts of kindness and charity, to spread the gospel, to comfort the downcast, to seek the lost, and to bring the erring back upon the way of life. In short, it is because not enough good seed is sown and cultivated that so much evil shows itself. Christ foresaw this when he warned in the following words, "Those whose hearts have been purified. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to the house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first." Matthew 12, verses 43 through 45. Empty, swept, and garnished. Yes, the house was cleanly swept and garnished, but it was empty, idle. There was no activity, no growth. Under these conditions, the evil spirit could again take possession. Whereas if there had been a heart full of faith and labor of love, Satan would have been foiled in his effort to regain possession. Let all who would overcome evil do so by cultivating the good, by constant activity in good causes. Thus there will be life, growth, health, and prosperity. And to the leaders in the church, do not think that the evil tendencies which manifest themselves and which all who love the right deplore can be overcome by suppression through strict and severe discipline. But they can be overcome if the leaders will actually lead the members of the church, and especially the young members who have so much youthful energy and who often have considerable time to spare, into all manner of good activity. If we read the scripture with a mind to understand it, there is so much call to activity that none should be without something to do which will fill out the time, occupy the mind, and give a rich satisfaction such as no worldly pleasure can give.